Let's see what's on the agenda for today. Let's open up to Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. And we're looking at the Gemara approximately 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. And this is a statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Do we have that? Yeah? Chav Gimel Amid Aleph?
Yeah.
Mesechta Shabbos. Sorry, I forgot that very important point. Mesechta Shabbos. Oh, Yisrael, how are you? Can we fit in one more chair here? All right. Now, let's just lead up to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara says the following, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah requires hadlaka, and hadlaka requires a hadlaka which is recognized by the halacha. Every action in the Torah, whether it be kinyanim, whether it be gittin v'kedushin, everything requires a certain status of a person to implement that maisa. And this excludes cheresh shotu v'kata. These three categories are excluded from a valid maisa. So we can talk a great length about who's a cheresh, who's a shota. Cotton is a little bit easier, he's less than 13, but even that's complicated. So here too, the Gemara establishes that with regard to Ner Chanukah, since the mitzvah is hadlaka, therefore if a cheri shot of a cotton lights the Ner Chanukah, lo asa v'lo klum, that's not recognized by the halacha. He's not what you call a bar chiyuva. Then the Gemara wants to know about a woman. What about a woman? Where does she fit into the picture of Ner Chanukah? And for that, the Gemara has to invoke the principle of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So the Gemara says, Isha vare madlika di omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, noshim chayovas b'ner Chanukah, sha'af hein hoyu be'oso anes. Okay, what does this mean? A woman is obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. This would seem to be obvious. Why do we need a chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? If not for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what principle would he apply? Women are exempt from what kind of mitzvahs? Mitzvah seishas man groma. So Ner Chanukah, insofar as it's a classical case of a time-bound mitzvah, women should be exempt. Kamashvel and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that there's a new principle here. And that's called Af Hein Hoyu Ba'oso Anes. If you'll take a peek in the Mesoras HaShas, whose job it is to send you to other sugyas in Shas that parallel or repeat the same text, you'll see that the Mesoras HaShas sends you to Psachim Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis and to Megillah Daf Dalet Amid Aleph. The sugya in Psachim, in the very last parak, is addressing the case of Dalid Kosos, and the Sugya Megillah is addressing the case of Mikra Megillah. So three times in Shas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi appears with regard to three different mitzvahs, and in each case he applies the principle of Af Hein Hoyu Bosad Nes to obligate the ladies, even though in all these three cases it's a mitzvah Aseh Shazman Groma, it's a time-bound mitzvah. Now, if we open up the Sugya Megillah of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi for just a moment, we'll see that it's not so pashut. Nothing is pashut, right?
What were the three times that was used?
at the end of Pesachim, that's the last perek of Pesachim, that's with regard to Dalet Kosos. And in Masechet Megillah, in the first perek, with regard to the mitzvah of Megillah. And the third time is right here in Masechet Shabbos, as Lenny points out, in the Sugya of Chanukah.
What about matzah?
We'll get to matzah in just a minute. So matzah is going to be the issue of Tosfos in Megillah. That's why I said, John, if you're getting me a Gemara Megillah, make sure it has Tosfos on it. Because, you know, in our day and age, they have all sorts of Gemaras, you know. I remember someone once brought the Rav a Gemara. It didn't have Rashi on it. So the Rav said, I asked for a Gemara. So they said, maybe that is a Gemara. No, a Gemara without Rashi is not a Gemara. Same thing happened years later with a Chumash. Somebody brought him a Chumash without Rashi. He's like, I asked for a Chumash. You know? Chumash has to have Rashi.
It didn't have a time instead of Rashi.
Alan, I wasn't saying something funny. I was being very serious. You were being facetious. All right. Now, Tosfos, in the beginning of Masechet Megillah, on Daf Dalid, Dibra Maskel Noshim Chayobos B'Mikra Megillah, so Tosfos says that Mikan Mashma Shanoshim Motzios Es Acherim Yidei Chovosa. So let's say, for example, my wife is going to read the Megillah for me. Tosfos says, since the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua B'Levi, Noshim Chayobos, it would sound like a woman has the exact same chiv as a man, and she can be Motzim. That's the opening line in Tosfos. Then Tosfos quotes the Bahag, the Baal Lochus Gedolos, is very famous, and the Bahag says, no, a woman can be motzi, a woman, but not a man. And the Bahag postulates the following set of rules. He says that rule number one is that there's a mitzvah called Mikra Megillah. Rule number two is that there's a mitzvah of Shmi'as HaMegillah. Rule number three is that men are obligated in both Mikra Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah, reading the Megillah, and Shmi'as HaMegillah. Rule number four, says the Bahag, is that women are obligated in Shmi'as HaMegillah, but not in Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, we can ask a barrage of questions here. I mean, the most serious of which is to say, why should a woman be obligated only in hearing the Megillah, not in reading the Megillah? And there are many answers to that question. We're going to answer that question, B'li Neder, according to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that's my Rebbe's father, Zichrono Livracha, my father's Rebbe, in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to pile up a second kash. The second question is raised by Tosfos himself. So again, the first question is how to understand the Bahag. Tosfos just quotes the Bahag. He doesn't explain the Bahag. And the Bahag postulates that women are obligated only in what? Shmiah, but not in Kriya. Therefore, a woman cannot, since she doesn't share the same identical chiv as a man, she cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Tosfos doesn't ask our question, which is the question of all the Rishonim. Why is that so? Why should the Bahag insist that there's a difference between men and women? And that women are only obligated in what? In Shmi'as HaMegillah. So we're going to try to answer that question based on a Torah, a Chiddush of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. But before that, we're going to ask a second question. And this second question is presented by Tosfos here, right here in Masechet Megillah Daf Dalet, based on a sugya in Masechet Pesachim. And that sugya, Masechet Pesachim, addresses the case of matzah. And what does the Gemara say about matzah? Are women obligated in matzah? This is a Gemara, if anybody wants to note it, on in Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Maybe if we have a Gemara Pesach, we'll read it inside. But if not, we'll just rely on Tosfos. Mem Gimel Amid Beis. And Tosfos has a Gemara that surprises us. When I say surprises us, because Tosfos asks about matzah, that shouldn't women be obligated in matzah? Based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, why would you say that women should be obligated in matzah? We've already established they're obligated in Dalet Kosos because they were also part of the Ness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why not go a step further and say they should be chayav in what? In matzah, for the very same reason. So Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Psachim, which gives you the opposite impression. And we're not going to activate the principle of Afhein Hoi Bosa in this. What does it say in the Gemara in Psachim? John, if you don't mind opening up to Mem Gimel, can you do that for me? If you don't mind. You're doing so many mitzvahs today, we'll give you one more mitzvah. So open up to Daf Mem Gimel. And the Gemara says the following. In the very same Pasuk, it says to eat matzah and not to eat chametz. That's called a hekesh. And a hekesh gives me an equation. The Gemara says the following. Kol sheyeshno bebal tochal chametz, yeshno bekum echol matzah. Women are included in bal tochal chametz. And that's based on a very fundamental principle that we only differentiate between men and women in mitzvah seh shesman grow with regard to mitzvah seh, but with regard to mitzvah lo seh, there's no difference between men and women. Is yeshno b'kum echol matzah, by virtue of this hekesh, we're going to obligate women in the mitzvah of matzah, because anyone who's included in the Iser of Baltochal Chametz is ipso facto included in the mitzvah of Kumachol Matzah. Women are included in Baltochal Chametz, and therefore they're included in Kumachol Matzah. So Tosfos raises the obvious question, why do I need this very complicated and sophisticated drasha, this Yalfusa called the Hekesh, in order to establish the Chiyuv of women in Matzah? Why not establish the Chiyuv of women based on what? Afein hayu ba'osa adnes. That's Tosfos' kash. Tosfos offers two very complicated answers to this question. Yeah, what do you say, Yitzchok?
Afein hayu ba'osa adnes only applied so far to Rabbanim.
Excellent. So the first answer to Tosfos, as Yitzchok said very well, is that we only apply afein hayu ba'osa adnes to the Rabbanim. Now, exactly what that means, that itself is the subject of a controversy amongst the Achronim. One approach means that Tosfos says we can only jack it up to a mitzvah d'rabbanon based on afein hayu. Here we want to establish a mitzvah d'oraisa, so for that we need a hekesh. And the other approach is to say that Tosfos holds that with regard to a mitzvah d'rabbanon, we don't apply afein hayu. With regard to a mitzvah d'oraisa, so we never apply afein hayu bosan. This afein hayu smes only applies to a mitzvah that's d'rabbanon. So when the rabbanon create a mitzvah yesh me'ayin, then they could extend that mitzvah, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, to include the lady folk because of afein hayu bosanes. But when you go to a deraisa mitzvah like matzah, then you're governed by the laws of the Torah. You can't come up with this, you know, built-in heimamru that the Rabbanan said, well, we're going to extend this to include women. And the Torah is going to define who's obligated in this mitzvah, who's not. And by the definition of the Tosfos, women are exempt from the mitzvah of matzah without this hekesh because of Zman Groma. Now the Torah has to give me a hekesh in order to obligate women.
But they wouldn't be, women wouldn't be obligated in many other mitzvahs, I say. And we can't.
Correct. In any other mitzvahs, I say, which is Zman Groma and doesn't and it doesn't have a hekesh or some sort of. Would women be exempt? Because again, on a Doraisa level, the Torah says women are exempt, and unless the Torah goes out of its way to include women, then they are innocent, and they're until proven guilty, they're not chayiv until you can prove that. And that has to be proven on a Doraisa level. When the Rabbanan institute a mitzvah, they can draw the lines, and they can say, well, who's obligated to the mitzvah? And based on afein hayu bosa adnes, they're going to include the women. That's one answer to Tosfos. Very sophisticated answer. The second answer, Tosfos, is not any easier, and that's based on what they call in the yeshivas. Okay, I don't have a way of writing this on the board, but you can write it in your notebook if you like. It's called 2-2. Right? How do you spell that? TU/TU, I guess. But really, what does 2-2 mean? Now, it has nothing to do with the Far East. You know, if you get on no, they don't call it 2-2s. What do they call them? Tuk-tuks. Oh, yeah, tuk-tuks. Yeah, excellent. It's called tesvav, tesvav. In both Sukkot and in Pesach, the Torah says chamisha asar. So we have exeret shavah chamisha asar, chamisha asar. So Tosfos says that since women are exempt from Sukkah, therefore they should be exempt from mat. In other words, you can apply the principle of afein hayu bosa adnes even to a doraisa. But what blocks the afein hayu bosa adnes is the gzeir shava of 2-2. And here the Mefarshim again go to town. This is very complicated because Adarabba, why don't we go the other way around? Why don't we say that women are obligated in matzah, therefore if they're obligated in matzah, they should be obligated in sukkah. And you know, you start from sukkah. And that's another sugya in Shas called Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. So we have Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai that women are exempt from sukkah. So that's engraved in stone. You know, you can't play with Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. Now we jack it up to the Gzeira Shavah of Tutu, and we say that just like women are exempt from sukkah, they should be exempt from matzah. The answer to that is going to be the hekesh kol sheyeshno v'al tochal chametz yeshno v'kum achamat. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wanted to come up with answers to these two questions. Question number one, why the Bahag excludes women in Ner Chanukah from Kriyas HaMegillah, only includes them in Shmiyas HaMegillah, even though Afein Hoy Boson. That's the number two. Why is it that the Gemara has to stretch its arm out to this very complicated Yalfusa in order to establish that women are obligated in matzah? Why not just derive it from Afein Hoy Boson? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in order to answer this question, he asked another question. So it's as if, you know, two questions are not enough. We need a third question. And if it was Leila Seder, maybe we'd need a fourth question. So what was his third question? Now he quotes Rav Moshe Soloveitchik this question, the name of the Olam, of the world. It's like a Weltkasha. I don't know exactly who had the gumption to ask this question, but Rav Moshe says that the Welt asks this question. In the Parsha of Tefillin, Lamantia Torah Hashem Beficha, it says Lamantizkar Yom Tzeischam Eretz Mitzrayim. This connects the mitzvah of Tefillin with Yitzias Mitzrayim. So now Tefillin becomes a Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Olam asks the following question. I don't know who the Olam is. Why aren't women, I shouldn't say this too loud, you know what I mean? Right here, they'll hear me. Why aren't women obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin? Since we have a principle of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that afein hoyiposon nes, they have to remind themselves of the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore they're obligated in what mitzvah? Dalit Kosos. Again, Tosas Ahavmi, they should be therefore obligated in the midst of matzah as well. And with very complicated answers, Tosas somehow wiggles the way out, and he says we need that hekesh in order to obligate women in matzah. So we see that Yetzias Mitzrayim is clearly something that the women participated in. What does it mean they participated in? That's also a machlokas between Rashi and the Rashbam. Rashi says that they were included in the Golus of Mitzrayim, the Shibud of Mitzrayim. We don't know exactly in what form that takes. And number two, that's the Rashbam Shita, that the Noshim, Bizchus Noshim Tzikonios Nigel Ravel Seder Mitzrayim, that they brought about the whole miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. But whichever way you take it, certainly the Gemara establishes in Psachim Adaf Kuf Ches that women are obligated in Dalit Kosos insofar as they are part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Afein Hoy Boson Nes. That's Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. So now the question is, if we can connect tefillin to Yetzias Mitzrayim, then ipso facto, let's activate Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's principle, and now ladies should be obligated in tefillin. Okay. So Rav Moshe wanted to come up with an answer to all these three questions. Now I'm going to present the answer of Moshe in my own language. I don't believe for 1 minute Rav Moshe said it this way. For one reason, he didn't speak English too well. Maybe he knew a little English. I would say the following. Don, would you mind being my scribe here? Okay, I want you to write down two words in English that ostensibly sound very, very similar, but I think they're fundamentally different. One is experience, and the other is commemoration. And let me try to explain what I mean. When a miracle takes place, and we experience that miracle, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that we're going to establish throughout history a mitzvah to re-experience that miracle. There's another way of saying it, and this would not, according to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, fulfill the requirement of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi of Afhein Hoyvosan. That's not to re-experience the miracle, but to commemorate the miracle. Commemorate means to remember the miracle, but not to re-experience it. And here's where Rav Moshe wanted to say the following. That it's true that there's a relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Tefillin. The Torah itself expresses this and formulates this. It's explicit in the Torah. However, Tefillin in no way reenacts or re-experiences Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not called Afhein Hoyvos Ha'nes. And according to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and we're going to have to see how he works this out. Let's go slowly, step by step. In each of the three sugyas in Shas, with regard to three different mitzvos, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi applies the principle of Afhein Hoyv Ha'nes. In each case, we are meant to re-experience the miracle. Now let's take Dalet Kosos as our first example. The Gemara says that the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is Derech Cherus. Can anybody help translate that for me? I'm at loss for translation here. It's got to demonstrate what? Freedom. Correct? Freedom. Right? Well, we'll get to Rav Moshe in a second, but let's. The Gemara itself doesn't say to re-experience freedom. The Gemara also didn't speak English. So what does Gemara say? It says Derech Cherus. Now let's see in halacha what derech cherus means. First of all, it just, how does it cut ice, as we say? How does it express itself? So for example, the Gemara says, I don't know who has this minhag, if anybody does, at the Leil HaSeder, before the Seder starts, you go around to every single participant. Have you ever seen this? Do you do this? And you ask them, give them a choice. You know, the choice could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 5 or even more types of yayin, and ask them what is the yayin of their choice. You know, some people will do this even when there's no mitzvah of Leil HaSeder. The whole year round, they'll invite a guest in and they'll give them a whole list of, you know, you go to a restaurant, they give you a whole list of wines, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if we have any wine connoisseurs here. I mean, to me, dry wine is all the same. I've been drinking dry wine for years for dietetic reasons. I still don't tolerate it, but anyway. But the real connoisseurs will be able to tell you what vintage the wine is, or which company produced it, or which vineyard it comes. I don't know what. So that's called Lefidaito Shel Adam. And on Leil HaSeder, there's a very distinct minog. And again, if anybody wants to pick this up, I would definitely encourage. I don't know. I usually don't encourage people to take on new minog. But this one deserves recommendation. That you go around and make sure that everyone gets their first choice in wine, if possible. You know, and it could be grape juice, according to those who accept grape juice. But if it's intoxicating, because the Rashbam requires for Dalet Kosos something that's intoxicating, so you make sure if it's dry wine, if it's red wine, if it's white wine, if it's this vintage wine, if it's half sweet, half dry, and so forth and so on. And the Rambam codifies this in the very last chapter of Hilchos Chametz Umat. Some say, by the way, that that's what Achashverosh did for the Jewish people back in Shushan, you know, when they came to the party, you know. Ushtia kedasa ironis, the pasuk says. So they, you know, there was plenty of wine there, and you got your choice of wine. Then there's another sugya, which is very fundamental. The Gemara says the following. Shisa'on chai. This is on Kuf Ches, the same sugya that we mentioned before. In the old days, they had undiluted wine. It was concentrated wine. And then they would add water to dilute the wine. And the Gemara says that Shison Chai, the word Chai means undiluted, concentrated wine, very harsh. The Gemara says, Yidei Yayin Yotza, Yidei Derecheris Lo Yotza. So let's focus on the Sefer, Yidei Cherus Lo Yotza. If I'm drinking such harsh wine, that is not a demonstration of Cherus. A Ben Chorin would not drink such harsh wine, which is hardly drinkable. However, again, we'll get back to this point in just a minute. The yayin yotza, meaning he drank four cups of wine. It's not like, you know, mafkia the shame yayin. It is yayin for all dinim. Let's say for a nazir or for kiddush, you could be yotze. But as far as dalit kosas is concerned, there's an element here of derech cherus, and that you forfeit in the case of shason chai. Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, this concept of derech cherus in yayin means to dramatize, or so to speak, to re-experience or duplicate the cheres itself. Tonight is the night in which we become bnei chorin, and how do we demonstrate that cheres? Through shtiyas yayin, and it's got to be yayin derech cheres. Now you and I might ask, why not just, you know, have a play? You know, let's. I don't know if you've, you know, in your sdarim, you've seen this. And my son is an expert at this. For the sake of the children, he puts on a whole puppet show. I mean, literally, you know, he buys not living frogs, but you know, rubber frogs or toy frogs, and he puts on a whole costume, and he becomes Paro. It's a whole to do. You know, the Iraqi Jews, by the way, have a very interesting minhag. What they do is they take a pail of water, and the whole family lines up, and they put the matzah on top of the shoulder, and they jump over the pail of water. Again, I'm not advocating this mimic, but you should know that it exists. So you and I might say, well, if you're trying to duplicate and re-experience the miracle, there are many different forms that can take. But the Rabbanan took this form, and that's called Shtiyas Dalet Kosos Shel Yayin Derech Cherus. So Rav Moshe goes on and he says the following, that tefillin does not, the mice of mitzvah of tefillin is in no way related to the ness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, although the Torah says that because of Yetzias Mitzrayim we wear tefillin, but the actual wearing of the tefillin per se, we call that the mice of mitzvah, in no way duplicates or reminds us of the miracle. And therefore, that's not called afein hoyibosadne. So there's no havamina, says Rav Moshe, to add that into the equation. But now we go on to matzah. And here's where Rav Moshe has an amazing chiddush. Rav Moshe says that if the thrust of what Rav Yeshua ben Levi wants from us is to re-experience the miracle, then says Rav Moshe, again, I wish I had something to write on the board here. Rav Moshe said, oh, look at this. Hashem is with me. Okay. Rav Moshe says we need what's called a kiyum shebelev. Okay. Now watch what goes on here. Rav Moshe says that many mitzvahs, not all mitzvahs, can be divided in the following way. There's what's called the maisa mitzvah, which means the technical, mechanical act, which is very external. And then is the kiyum shebelev, which is internal. And that's a matter of experience. That requires a certain either intellectual or emotional response to the mitzvah. 99% of the mitzvahs that we have of the 316, of the 613, only exhaust themselves in a maisa mitzvah. Notice the kiyum mitzvah is obtained, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is attained through the maisa mitzvah, the mechanical act. I don't need a kiyum shebelev, which would mean that I could put on my talis and I don't have to have any emotional experience. I can put on my tefillin, etc., etc., etc. However, says Rav Moshe, there are select few mitzvahs which have as their goal, and this is critical to the mitzvah, a kiyum shebelev. That means an inner moment, an inner experience. Anybody think of any examples? Leave out dalet kosos, we'll get to that in a minute.
Avelus,
excellent. Avelus means an emotional state of being which is antithetical to simcha. Again, in order to really take it apart, we'd have to know what simcha is, and then we can figure out what avelus is. Any other examples that you can think of?
Tefillah.
Excellent. Tefillah. And once we're mentioning tefillah, what else?
Kriyat Shema.
Okay? And we can talk about simcha and yantif. So from Rav Moshe's perspective, imagine the following scenario. On Yontif, I eat the best meat that you can give me. You know, everybody has their own favorite meat. You know, tzli katef and, you know, whatever it is, barbecue meat. You love it. The only problem is you're depressed, chas v'shalom. You're not in a state of simcha. Israel Moshe would say, in that case, you forfeit the mitzvah. Because although you've done the ma'isa mitzvah, v'achilas basar, you forfeited the kiyum shem alev of simcha. So again, just to summarize, there's a select group of mitzvahs. You know, it's not easy to get membership in this club. Of mitzvahs which depend upon and the achievement of the mitzvah is what? Is the kiyum shem alev. Without the kiyum shem alev, just with the mechanical act, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Yeah, Yitzchak?
Does the kiyum shem alev have to come through the ma'aseh mitzvah?
Yes.
They have to be the same. They have to be the same.
Yes. But Moshe is not advocating in favor of what's called in the jargon of philosophy religious subjectivism. No. There's no such thing as religious subjectivism. Everything is objective.
No,
it means you have to do the act, and that act has to trigger within you a state of emotion, a kiyum shebelev. And that kiyum shebelev, if it's not generated by the mitzvah itself, is meaningless. It has no status in Allah. And that's why, you know, the difference between a litvak and a chassid of Kalbach, so to speak, Rabbi Kalbach. You know, if you're into Kalbach, so any time of the day or the year, or maybe if you're a Bretzel, I don't know what, you know, you're dancing in the streets and you're hugging people and you're besimcha gedol. That's fine. Again, mitzvah gedol, lios besimcha. But if you're a litvak and you're trained by these halachic rules and regulations, then unless the halacha requires that state of simcha, then it's meaningless. You know, again, it's not negative. You know, it's good to be besimcha. That's a great thing. But the objective halachic kiyum, you know, to fulfill a mitzvah, that has to be generated within the framework of a particular ma'isa mitzvah. And the ma'isa mitzvah engenders a kiyum shebelev. I don't want to spend too much time in this because, Yitzchak, this could take us out. But what I do want to point out is that Rav Moshe asks the following question. Would matzah require a kiyum shebelev? Write that down, because this is mamish bombastic. In other words, in the case of Dalet Kosos, the goal of the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos is chayrus, is to experience the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the freedom from bondage. And clearly, says Rav Moshe, if somebody would have forced me by a gunpoint to drink Dalet Kosos on Leil Pesach, and I have the slightest interest or mental, emotional awareness of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Cheirus, it would be meaningless. It would be a Maisa Mitzvah without a what? A Kiyum Shebelev, a Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is that experience, that duplication or re-experiencing the miracle. However, says Rav Moshe, what would be if somebody put a gun to your head on the night of Pesach? Again, I have no clue why he would do such a thing and how Rav Moshe came up with this case, except that it comes straight out of the Gemara. And he said, eat the matzah or you will die. Right? Some people eat matzah and they die anyway, but you know, depends if you eat b'liachas, you know, and how you eat the matzah. I once gave a lecture in Toronto, Canada. The title of the lecture was How to Eat Matzah and Survive, you know. In any event, so if they put a gun to your head, so what would you say, Rav Moshe? Can I fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with a mechanical act of eating the matzah and no connection whatsoever to cheres? I'm just doing it because I'm being compelled to do so. Anybody? So Gemara Mefureshes, the Gemara says in the name of Avu de Shmuel, this is a sugya in Vashor Chavches, that kafu lechel matzah, they forced him to eat matzah yotzah. He fulfills his mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe, I don't understand. If matzah is a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah that has a kiyum shebelev, and I'm meant to commemorate the miracle and experience the miracle, and I have to compare it to Dalet Kosos, it's got to be derech eretz, then kafu lechol matzah? Rashi says the Parsi forced him to eat matzah, and he's yotze, how could that be? And even if you'll tell me mitzvah's eitzrich, that's not going to help you at all, because here we need the kiyum shebelev. Says Rav Moshe, you see one thing clearly, that matzah, although it commemorates Yetzias Mitzrayim, is not afhein hoibosas, it's not a re-experiencing of the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If it were, then it would be a prerequisite, an absolute condition, that you have to have the kiyum shebelev, you have to have some mental or emotional connection to the mitzvah. Rav Moshe now goes on, and he asks the following question. What would be in Mikra Megillah if I have no clue what the Megillah is all about? And Rav Moshe wanted to now create a very complex structure. This is what we call in brisket terminology, Tzvei Dinim. Have you ever heard of it? So Rav Moshe says the following. There may be a Maisa Mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. That possibly could exist. We'll have to see about that. But there's also a Kiyum Shebalev in Megillah. Megillah is meant to trigger off an emotional experience in which I undergo, so to speak, the entire Geula process of Purim by reading the Megillah. So that on the one hand, if I don't understand the Megillah, I might be Yotze on one level, meaning the basic level of a Maisa Mitzvah, but I would still forfeit the Kiyum of Afhein Hayubosa Anes, which means re-experiencing the miracle. And Rav Moshe wanted to go on and say the same thing could apply to Ner Chanukah. And this brings us back to the base. That in the case of Ner Chanukah, if he has no awareness whatsoever of what Chanukah is all about, he will forfeit the kiyum of Afhein Hoyvos Anes, what he calls the kiyum Shebalev. He might have a mechanical mitzvah. And anyone who was in my shiur yesterday will remember that there are two parts to the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neros. One is for Hodah, to thank Hashem, and the other is a Maisa Mitzvah. So you might have a Maisa Mitzvah Hadloka, but if it's completely bereft of any emotional or intellectual awareness, and therefore you're not re-experiencing the miracle, then you forfeit the mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe. In three mitzvahs, we have a principle Afhein Hayubos Anes. And those are Dalit Kosos, and Mikra Megillah, and Ner Chanukah. In those three mitzvahs, the common link is going to be the Kiyum Shebalev of re-experiencing the miracle. In two other mitzvahs, we have what I call, again, Rav Moshe wouldn't have used this term, but a correlation to the mitzvah, a correlation to the miracle, a commemoration of the mitzvah, but not a re-experience of the miracle. The Maisa Mitzvah in no way demonstrates the miracle. And Rav Moshe says that that's true for tefillin, and you and I would have said that in the case of matzah, he needs the Kiyum Shebalev, but the Gemara says, Kafu Lechol Matzah Yotzah, that matzah on a deraisa level is only a mechanical act of eating the matzah. And even if I do it in order to save my skin, I'm Yotzah in the midst of matzah. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, in the cases of tefillin and matzah, we do not apply the principle of Afhein Hayubos HaNes, because that principle is completely, exclusively dedicated to a Kiyum Shebalev, to re-experience the great miracle. Says Rav Moshe, how do I judge? How do I know a priori? What's my litmus test to determine whether or not the mitzvah itself is and a re-experience, a duplication of the miracle or not? Says Rav Moshe, and I'm hoping you'll ask me a question on this, that it all depends on a unique bracha, which is called Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu Vayamim Ahem Basmanaseh. If you want to know, if you want to determine, says Rav Moshe, whether or not this mitzvah, whatever it is, X, Y, or Z, is a mitzvah that's essentially to duplicate and re-experience the miracle or not, it's just to commemorate the miracle, says Rav Moshe, I give you a litmus test. The bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu.
Abraham.
Oh, excellent. Says Rav Moshe, listen carefully, then in the case of Megillah, we make a bracha, Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. And that bracha is on the Mikra Megillah, because the Mikra Megillah means to experience the miracle. Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. In the case of Ner Chanukah, the purpose and the goal of the mitzvah is to re-experience the miracle. Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. What about Dalit Kosos?
Dalit Kosos, the first bracha is on Magid. And Magid itself is a...
Which part of Magid? Excellent, Yitzhak. Which part of Magid? You got the Rav Moshe's answer? The last bracha of Magid. Asher Ga'olonu V'Gol Avoseinu. That bracha, says Rav Moshe, mitchiloso v'ad sofa, the very essence of the Nusach, is a replacement for the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. There was no need, and here Rav Moshe goes into a whole discussion why Kiddush doesn't have that bracha. It only starts with the second coast. And Rav Moshe says once the worry was a bracha on Kiddush, they didn't want to establish another bracha on Kiddush. That's complicated, but be that as it may, from the second kos and on, we've already fulfilled this mitzvah of a bracha on Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. Unbelievable chiddush of Rav Moshe. So now we have an original answer to Tosa's question. Tosa says, why do I need a hekesh for matzah to establish that women are obligated to the mitzvah of matzah? After all, afein oyvo so. And that says, Rav Moshe Nayan, the very fact that matzah could be fulfilled as a mechanical act, as a ma'aseh mitzvah, the fact that there's no requirement to eat the matzah a second time. Let's say, for example, you ate the matzah without any awareness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now you come to me and you say, Rabbi, what should I do? The halacha nowhere says that you have to redo the ma'aseh mitzvah. You know what I'm saying? If let's say, for example, you drank Dalet Kosos without any awareness of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we would force you to drink another set of Dalet Kosos. And this is all based on the sugya of Shison Chai Yedei Cheres Lo Yotza. Okay. Now, Rav Moshe wants to answer the following question. Why does the Bahag insist that women are only obligated in Shmiyas HaMegillah and not in Kriyas HaMegillah? Okay. So before we get to that answer, I want to present to you a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba. The Tosfos is right here on Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. Let's turn back a little bit. Wait, just give me a second. Chof Aleph. Chof Aleph Amid Beis. Dibra Maskel De'i Lo Adli. Does everybody have that, Tosis? Oh. So Tosis says the following. The Gemara establishes, based on the Braisa, that the time for Pirsum HaNes is between Shkiyas HaChama and Ad Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk. And now Tosfos addresses the following question. What happens if he was late, he procrastinated for whatever reason, got caught up, and it's after the moment of Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk? So Tosfos goes through two stages in analyzing this situation. Can you light Ner Chanukah? Should you light Ner Chanukah after Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk? So at stage number one, Tosfos says, it's too late. Why is it too late? The Gemara says that the Ilo Adlik Madlik, those words mean that if you haven't lit at Shkia, you can light up until, but not beyond, Ashet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk. So says Tosfos, if there's no regular in a shuk, again, that in those days it was, you know, a half hour after Shkia, whatever it might be, then fafal, the mitzvah is gone. Ball game over, there's no Pirsum HaNes, and there's nothing left to the mitzvah. Then Tosfos at stage two backtracks a little bit. Why? Because after the Gemara's De'ilo Adlik Madlik, the Gemara says, Inami, everyone, Inami lit. This Gemara you have to go, you know, by heart. I mean, if anyone's going to take a quiz on my shiurim, this you have to know by heart. Inami, I'll wait, I have to be patient here. L'shiurim, okay? I have to hear that word, L'shiurim. Because the parallel is L'shiur, like L'shiurim. So what does it mean, L'shiurim? It means that you're not bound by this time period, these bookends of Misha Tishka Hamach and Tikla Regel Ben Ashuk. What you are bound by is that time period needs a volume of oil that could last for that period, call it a half hour. Says Tosfos, we don't know whether we accept Lahalach the first Lashon, which means that the absolute endpoint of Ner Chanukah is Mishtichler Egem Neshuk, or we accept the second Lishna in the Gemara, which means that you can light throughout the entire night, but you have to make sure that there's enough Shemen in the Nair to last for that period of time, that half hour. Therefore, says Tosfos, since you don't know whether we pass in this way or that way, so if you missed that period of time and it's after Tichler Egem Neshuk, you have to go ahead and light. Basically, Tosfos is saying you have to go ahead and light because of the second Lishna in the Gemara called Inami Lishiura. Comes along the Rashba, and he disagrees with Tosfos. Says the Rashba, right here in on Chof Aleph Amid Beis, in Masechta Shabbos, that, you know what? Tosis's original statement that after Tichlei Regeh B'Neshuk, the mitzvah is over, ball game over, because he's going right now like the first Lishna, that's incorrect. That's not true. Says the Rashba, okay, you forfeit that period of time where there's people in the streets and the market is full of people, so you'll have pirsumanes. That you forfeited, but you're still obligated in Ner Chanukah. So again, the difference between Tosis and the Rashba is the following. Whereas Tosis would say that if you missed out Shetichlei Regeh B'Neshuk, can you make a bracha? No, because Tosis Mesupak, something brachas lahakel, will obligate you to light the Ner Chanukah, but without a bracha. Again, the Beis Yosef has a chiddush here, but we're not getting into that. But that's Shitas HaTosus. Comes along the Rashbi, says, no, make a bracha. You forfeited the mitzvah the way it should be done. The Rashbi used the word kitikuna. We've once mentioned this Rashbi. But you can still obtain the mitzvah and therefore make a bracha. And that's all through the night. Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, there's a fundamental machlokas here between Tosus and the Rashba about the nature of Ner Chanukah. Tosus understood that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, according to the first Lishna in the Gemara, Dilo Adlik Adlik, exhausts itself in this kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. In other words, Afhein Hayu Bos HaNes means we have to duplicate the miracle. Says Tosus, that's the essence of the mitzvah. That's absolutely critical. The kishkis of Ner Chanukah is the Afhein Hayu Bos HaNes. And that applies as long as you can publicize the miracle. What's the cutoff time? Shetichlei Regeh B'Neshuk. After that, the mitzvah goes down the tubes. Again, Tosfos Lamaisa is going to require you to light candles only because of the second Lishna. Says the Rashba, according to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, name. There are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Chanukah. There's one mitzvah which is Kitikuna, and that has the element of Pirsum HaNes. But then there's another element to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Even if I forfeit the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, and I don't have that kiyum, what I'm ending up with is a maisa mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner. And that mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner is a mitzvah Sheba Laila, and it entails the entire life. So again, just to summarize, we have two ways of understanding the essence of Ner Chanukah. One way is Shitas HaTosfos. According to Tosfos, in explaining the first Lishna, Di Lo Adlik Adlik, says Tosfos, Avol Mikan V'Yelech Ovar Hazman. Sounds like a Kodshim Halacha. Ovar Hazman Obatol Kabonu. It's Farfalin. It's gone. Because Tosfos says, without the element of Pirsum HaNes, there's no mechanical mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah as a mitzvah per se. The Rashba, on the other hand, maintains that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Chanukah. And the mitzvah of Chanukah can be fulfilled with an external maisa mitzvah, mechanical act, devoid of any element of Pirsum HaNes. So the Afein Hayu Bos HaNes is not there. But nevertheless, you still have a mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah as what? As a maisa mitzvah. Okay. Let's see if we could take these tools and apply them to Mikra Megillah and begin to understand the Shitas HaBahag. The Bahag suggests that in Mikra Megillah, like in Ner Chanukah, but here you'll have to add another point, and I'm going to test you on this, and you'll have to tell me what you add in brackets. But again, start again. According to the Rashba, according to the Bahag, Mikra Megillah, like Ner Chanukah, has two dimensions to it. The Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. What am I going to put in brackets? No. Who Shita is the Bahag? Is the Bahag reflecting?
Rashba.
Excellent. The Rashba is Shita. The Rashba is of the opinion in Ner Chanukah that we can maintain and obtain a kiyum mitzvah of Ner Chanukah even without Pirsum HaNes. Ner Chanukah stands on its own as a maisa mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah kitikuna. You've certainly forfeited the Nes element here because it's after Shetichlei Regeh B'Neshuk. But nevertheless, says the Rashba, there is an independent mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. If we take the logic of the Rashba and we apply it to the Bahag, then we can say Hu Adin, a mirror image in the case of Mikra Megillah. This Mikra Megillah is a Maisa Kriya, and then there's a Mikra Megillah of experiencing the Pirsum Hanes, the publicizing the miracle. And here, what I would like to add, again, if I could, in my humble way, to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Chiddush, is the fact that the Gemara Megillah says that even if you don't understand the Megillah per se, you could still be Yotzei the Mitzvah. So some Mefarshim say because they translated for you. But not all Mefarshim agree to that. Some Mefarshim say you could read the Megillah and not understand a single word, and no one's translating it for you. But it has to be in Lashon Kodesh. But what you see is, though, that there's a Maisa Mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And that, says the Bahag, is incumbent upon the men and not the women. And let's explain why. So first let's get the structure. What we're suggesting is that in the case of a man, we have two mitzvahs. We have a mechanical maisa mitzvah of kriya in Megillah, and then we have the experience of the Megillah, which is the pirsum hanes aspect. In the case of nashim, of women, we don't have the Maisa Mitzvah as a mechanical external mitzvah. All we're left with is experiencing the miracle. That's called Pirsum Hanes. Says the Bahag, therefore, a woman cannot read for a man. Why? Because a woman doesn't have the Mitzvah of Kriya. The Mitzvah of Kriya is a Maisa Mitzvah, which could only be incumbent upon women if it's not time-bound, if it's not a Mitzvah Seishas Ran Grama. Men, on the other hand, can be obligated even in a mitzvah which is a maisa mitzvah and it's man grama. Where do women and men share the same chiyuv? When the mitzvah is to experience a miracle, and the women were part of that miracle, whether they engendered the miracle or they just experienced the benefits of the miracle. If women are part of the miracle, then says Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, that pirsum hanes is applicable to women no less than to men, and therefore women are obligated. But the problem is, and this is the Bahag's issue, what about the original element, the basic fundamental element of mitzvahs kriya samagila, namely kriya samagila, kriya as a mechanical act of a maisa mitzvah, which is now devoid of any pirsum hanes? Says the Bahag, that aspect was never imposed upon the ladies. Meaning, that you and I could ask the following question. Would Afhein Hayubos HaNes equate men and women? Do we give them the whole kit and caboodle from beginning to end, from A to Z? Or do we say no? Afhein Hayubos HaNes means that they share with men that kiyum shebelev of re-experiencing the miracle, of publicizing the miracle. And that can only be fulfilled by the women as a kiyum of their Afhein Hayubos HaNes. However, if you ask yourself, what about the basic chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah, which is a formulation of the original mitzvah? When I say the original mitzvah, I mean to say the original takana was Kriyas HaMegillah, then they added Pirsum HaNes. Again, I don't mean historically, chronologically, but the conceptually we add Pirsum HaNes. So here's the difference between men and women. Men, with regard to Mitzvah Saseh, that require Maisa Mitzvah, like 99% of the Mitzvah, they are obligated despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma. Women are not obligated if it's Zman Groma. So you can't impose a Maisa Mitzvah on a woman and obligate her if it's Zman Groma. What did Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi want to introduce here? The experience of the miracle through Pirsum HaNes, that kiyum, that belongs to women no less than men, because Afein Hayubos HaNes. Now, says the Bahag, can a woman read the Megillah on behalf of a man? The answer is no. Why? Because women are obligated only in Shmiyas HaMegillah. They don't share the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And therefore, the women have a different obligation than the men. And we only say Yotza Motzi if they both share the same identical chiyuv. This is the Bahag. Yitzchok?
Why do we say that conceptually, the kiyum shebelev is the added on part of the Megillah?
What I'm saying is that we start with all mitzvahs. Right? We have a bag. You know, in the bag we put all the mitzvahs, I say all the positive commands. What's common to all these mitzvahs in the bag is that they are a Maisa mitzvah. Right. Then we have a few mitzvahs which are unique in that they have a Kiyum Shebelev. Now the question is the following. How do I treat this? Do I say that the Kiyum Shebelev is an add-on, meaning everything that existed insofar as all mitzvahs are made of mikshachas, of one element, that applies even to a Kiyum Shebelev? Or do we say no? The Kiyum Shebelev now undermines the original Maisa mitzvah. So for example, in the case of Ner Chanukah, where the Kiyum Shebelev is to publicize the miracle of the Neros or whatever miracle you want, right? So what happens now? Do I completely obliterate the original meaning the universal mitzvah of a Maisa mitzvah, in this case a Maisa Adloka, and I replace it? It's gone. Forget it. It doesn't exist. Because this mitzvah exhausts itself in Pirsum Hanes. That would be the sheet of whom? Of Tosfos. And therefore Tosfos says, after Tikkun Regel Hashuk, forget it. It's not even worth your time to light Ner Chanukah. It's completely meaningless. Over Zmano. Because if you rob your Hadlaka of Pirsum Hanes, you're not left with the basic universal definition of a Maisa mitzvah. Comes along the Rash, but he says, no. Pirsum Hanes is an add-on. In other words, in these unique cases, we're going to add a new kiyum, a new dimension to the mitzvah, namely what? A kiyum shebelev. We're not going to undermine the basic mice of mitzvah, which is a mechanical mice of mitzvah that doesn't require a kiyum shebelev. That remains behind. And therefore, Ner Chanukah will still generate a mitzvah of mice adloka, even if devoid of pirsum hanes, i.e. after Tichle Regel Min Hashuk. That's the Rashba sheet. If we take the approach of the Rashba and we apply it to the Bahag, we come up with something very fascinating. That even though Mikra Megillah certainly has a Kiyum Shebelev of Pirsum Hanes, that when I read the Megillah, hear the Megillah, understand the Megillah, I experience the miracle stage by stage, right? Step by step. Nevertheless, that doesn't undermine Mikra Megillah as a universal mitzvah, which always requires a Maisa mitzvah. So the Maisa mitzvah of Kriya still remains. As I said before, Ken Zion, it could be that if you don't understand a word of the Megillah, you still don't say the Megillah. And now we add on a Kiyum Shebelev of Pirsum Hanes. And therefore the Bahag wants to make a difference between men and women. Women are not going to be included in the universal definition of a Maisa Mitzvah because it's a Zman Grama. What Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi wants to institute here is a chiv of women for Pirsum Hanes because of Afhein Oibos Hanes. But that only gives them Shmia. When they hear the Megillah, that's a call to Pirsum Hanes. And again, the word piercing here is a little bit misleading. It doesn't mean that I have to go out there and and wave the, I have to yell on the foghorn. You know, if it's a piercing of this for me, that itself is a piercing of this. So my re-experiencing the miracle is my kiyum of piercing of this. Says the Bahag, women share the same kiyum with men as far as piercing of this, but they don't have the original mitzvah. When I say original, I mean from the perspective of universal mitzvahs, namely a Maisa mitzvah, which here means a Maisa Kriya. So therefore they're not obligated in Kriya, they're only obligated in Shmiya. Hence, says Rav Moshe, we now have answers to all our questions. Number one, we have an answer to the question why matzah would not be incumbent upon women based on Afein Hoibos, and that's because Matz is only correlated to Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it doesn't have the element of Kiyum Shebelev of re-experiencing the miracle, and if it's not equal to Dalit Kosos, we now have an answer to the question of why Tefillin is not obligatory on women, because Tefillin is only correlated to the Ness of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's not essentially re-experiencing the miracle. The Maisa Mitzvah doesn't indicate anything as far as the Ness is concerned. And now we have an answer to that question about the Bahag. Why would the Bahag differentiate between women and men as far as Mikra Megillah is concerned? And in the light of the Rashba, who postulates in Ner Chanukah that you can split the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah into two parts. One component part is the Maisa Adloka, the other component part is the Pirsum and the experience. And therefore the Rashba says, despite the fact that it's after Tikkun Regel Hashuk, you're still obligated in the midst of Chanukah, not in the midst of Pirsum because it's too late for that, but at least in the midst of Hadlaka. Then if we apply that to the Bahag would say that we can maintain these two components, meaning the, I call it the old component, meaning the universal component that applies to all mitzvahs of a Maisa mitzvah. And there we would say that there's a fundamental distinction between men and women insofar as women are exempt from Zman Grama. And then we get up to the embellishment of the mitzvah, which adds the element of Kiyum Shebelev, of Pirsum Hanes, Here's where women step up to the plate, and they have the same status as men because they too have pirsum anes. That's pretty much what I heard in the name of Rav Moshe. Yeah.
It sounds like Rav Moshe would never agree to split up the two different aspects of the mitzvah. Meaning the masa mitzvah has to be in tandem with the kiyum shel halev, so you can't separate kriya and shmiya.
No, again, Rav Moshe is only telling us when and how you apply afhein ho yivos anes. Rav Moshe is not taking a stand. He's not committed to one position or the other, like if you call it Tosfos versus the Rashba or the Bahag versus Tosfos. He's not entering into the question as to whether or not afhein ho yivos anes, with all the definitions that we gave, replaces the original Maisa Mitzvah as an external Maisa Mitzvah. He's not entering into that. Rav Moshe is giving you a lot of freedom of thought over here. You can commit yourself this way or that way, and you're stepping into a minefield of the machlokas between Rishonim. But what Rav Moshe wants to say is one thing is clear according to all Rishonim, that kiyum shebelev, which is engendered by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's institution, that itself requires that the maisa mitzvah be somehow related to the nes. And again, adding that little piece of the puzzle that the barometer for that is going to be what? The bracha of Shasan Nisim, and in all these three cases, we'll have a bracha of Shasan Nisim. In the case of matzah, I never heard a bracha of Shasan Nisim. In the case of tefillin, I never heard a bracha of Shasan Nisim. Or Asher Galon of Agalas Avosenim. Why? Because these mitzvahs, like matzah and tefillin, says Rav Moshe, they did not re-experience the day. They only what do you say?
Commemorate
the miracle. I think that's again, Rav Moshe didn't use that term, but that helps me at least.
Good questions. First, according to the Baha'i, if the mitzvah is only is a kiyum shalev, the women would have to understand the Megillah.
Excellent. Comes out according to Rav Moshe, if the whole reason women in the Baha'i's frame of reference are obligated to the mitzvah of Megillah, in this case, Shmiyas HaMegillah, is only insofar as they can re-experience the miracle. That's the Pirsum HaNes. Then if a woman doesn't understand a single word of the Megillah, it's absolutely meaningless. And it's very fascinating. Again, Rav Moshe doesn't point this out, but the Yushalmi in the Sech the Megillah says about Bar Kapara, one of the Tanoim, that when he read the Megillah, he would gather together the members of his family, and he would read the Megillah in their presence. Not the way we do it. You know, we all go to the synagogue and we gravitate to the tzibur. He used to read it for his family. And again, I don't know if this is a chutzpah on my part to say, but perhaps what Bar Kapara did was, by having it in the family, he wanted to make sure that, you know, if you have a family affair, everybody has to sing happy birthday, right? So in this case, it's not happy birthday, but it's happy geula mi achashverosh and haman. Meaning that he would use that opportunity in the close, intimate confines of his living room, of his dining room, to actually explain the miracle to his people, and specifically to the women folk, because if the women folk don't understand what it's all about, it's meaningless.
How is it?
But Alan, you wanted to say something, and then that Alan, the two Alans. I don't know.
I'm just confused with matzah. Yeah, every time I go to the bottom of the says she has something missing.
Okay, that's a good point. Should I take you seriously, or is it more... okay, go ahead. I have so many jokers here in the room, I never know whether you've been serious or been joking, you know.
No, I'm not a big joke. How can you be motzi...
Don't believe him for
a minute. How can you be motzi somebody with kriyas megillah, because it's a maisa that does totally on the person actually forming the words? You know, you would say with kriyas megillah, if you just read it by with sight, without being pronouncing the words, and you, how would you be motzi, a man be motzi another man with kriyas and megillah, when actually all he is doing is minim shomea? So he has the shomea part, but he never has the kriya part. So how is the rest of the kahal of men being yotze with kriyas megillah?
Well, again, if you and I share the same chiyuv, then whatever you implement is as if I implement it.
I share the same chiyuv with you of tefillin, and I can't be motzi with tefillin by putting it on.
Oh, okay. So that's an interesting question. No, so what Alan is asking is, when do you apply the principle of mitzvah sheva gufo, and when do you apply the principle of shomea ka'ona? It's complicated, but the basic answer, just to make life easy for ourselves, is if it requires a physical maisa, what's called a maisa sheva guf, Tosus read in Kiddushin says that there's no shlichus. But if it only requires a maisa of kriya or shmiya or anias habracha, then we have a principle of shobeya ka'om.
Yeah,
so, for example, sfiras ha'omer. Sfiras ha'omer is only only enunciating the word. So it could be that shobeya ka'onin could work. So the Gemara actually has a special drasha to exclude Shomei Ka'on and Sfir Sa'omer, because the Sfartim Lachem should take Sfir L'Kol Echad V'Yech. But if not for that drasha, then El Chinami, you could vicariously fulfill your counting of Sfira by hearing my counting. But that only applies to Amira and Kriya. It doesn't apply to Maisa Shebagufa. And in fact, if we have time today, I'd like to discuss the possibility of Shlichus, or maybe the impossibility of Shlichus in Ner Chanukah, because Ner Chanukah requires Adlaka. So I can understand Shomei Ka'ona in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas HaTorah, but it's very hard to understand how Shlichus could work in the case of Ner Chanukah. That's a classical case of a mitzvah of a goof. And we've touched on this in the past. Yisro?
Just a follow-up.
Yisro, what's your last name, if you don't mind my asking?
Davidowitz.
Davidowitz.
Yeah.
You're not from, where is it in New York?
Lower East Side.
Oh, for Lower East Side. Oh, so you do look familiar to me. Do you daven in Bialystok?
I used to, yeah. From Elizabeth, yeah.
Oh, wow. I must have seen you in Bialystok. My in-laws live on Grant Street.
Okay. You said before I go into eating meat on Shabbos or Chag first, or let's say Chag for being Sameach, that you eat meat, but you're hairy, but you're depressed, and I do say.
Right.
How come, though, by Megillah and Hanukkah, we're separating the two aspects of it?
I'll tell you what it is. Sometimes the mitzvah is identical with the Kiyum Shavuot. In other words, there is no separate Maisa mitzvah. I would use the terminology in philosophy we talk about, means to an end. I don't know if you're familiar with that, right? So in the case of Simcha, the Torah never requires you to eat meat. The halacha says that in order to get to achieve the state of being of Simcha, meat is a means to an end. That's not what we're talking about today. Today what we're talking about is not a means to an end. What we're talking about is a mitzvah that has two parts to it. It has a part that is an external mechanical maisa mitzvah, and then it has a part to it that engenders a kiyum shebalev. Sometimes the kiyum shebalev is the mitzvah, and the Torah doesn't even obligate you in any action. We'll advocate or recommend a certain action in order to achieve, like for example, the Torah doesn't say how do you achieve avelus. Avelus is a classical case, Mitch mentioned before, of Kiyum Shebalev. But the Torah doesn't specify how. So the Rabbanim are going to give you various actions. In most cases, it's what you call abstentions, not really actions. Right? They're all Yud Alpha, 11 Isuri Avelus for Shiva. And what it means is that if you abstain from these actions, then you'll reach the mitzvah of Avelus. But let's say, for example, he abstains from Sicha and Nilas HaSandal and Rechitza Tashmid, etc., but he's in a state of joy and happiness. You know, it's very interesting because back in the day, I don't think you and I have ever seen this, but correct me if I'm wrong, when a father died, not in all cases, but the minhag was that you recited Shechiyanu at the funeral. Yeah. Did you know that?
Yes.
Why? Because you inherit your father's possessions. That's pretty wild. So I was just thinking to myself, imagine Shechiyanu requires Simcha, and that's antithetical to Avelus. How do you reconcile the two? You know, it's food for thought. Again, I don't think there's anyone in this room who's ever seen that. Is anyone here who could testify they saw someone with a beard and payas make Shechiyanu at a funeral? I don't know if you it'd be pretty weird.
Did he do it?
But there is such a minhag actually, and it's very very old minhag. You
know? Was it before the Gvura or after the Gvura did it?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe he was an Oni, but if he's an Oni, I don't know if he's allowed to make a program.
That's right.
Really gets complicated.
What would you say about a woman fighting after Tikkun Regel?
Right, same question that you said before, because according to the Rashba, all you have after Tikkun Regel Menashu, according to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, is the Maisa Mitzvah, and she doesn't have the Maisa Mitzvah. So if you combine the Rashba and the Bahag, according to Rav Moshe, then you end up with the fact that even the Rashba would agree that as far as lady folk is concerned, there's no point to lighting their Hanukkah after.
What about Re'iyah? Not the same as
Shri'ah. Oh, Re'iyah. I don't know, Lenny, if I'm ready for Re'iyah yet. give me a few minutes.
That'd be a part of
Yeah. So, Rabosai, I want to share with you a prima godin that I saw that I mamish don't know what the man is talking about. Okay, so let me read to you the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Isha madlekes ner Chanukah." Okay, so that's really just codifying the Gemara we saw Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, that a woman has to light near Chanukos, af hei no yuboso on this. She'af hi chayeves bo, says the Shulchan Aruch. This is Tav Reish Ayin Hei, Sif Gim. And then he says that a chayr shotav a katan lo asav lo klum. Okay. Now, what would you say about the following question? This is all an introduction to the Prima God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, but I want you to answer as a Talmud Chacham would answer. Meaning, I don't want svaras now. No logic. I want a source. If you know the source. Can a woman light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man? No svaras. Leave out the Bahag, leave out all your svaras. Leave that outside for a moment.
Yes.
How do you know that? Excellent. The very next line in the Gemara, Mitch, that we read before as we started the Shiur, back on Daf Chav Gimel. So on the top of Daf Chav Gimel, Don, take a look. And we read Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and we didn't read Rav Sheshes. He's next online. So Amar Rav Sheshes, Ach Sinai, Chayav ben Er Chanukah. Very next line in the Gemara. So I'm a guest in an inn or in a household, and I'm Chayav ben Er Chanukah. Amar Rav Zera, Meiresh. Okay, now what's going on? The word Meiresh, which literally means originally, meaning early in my life, means that he is a single fellow. Okay? So he doesn't have a wife. Ki Avina Beirav, when I was staying at the house of my Rebbe, so I had to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on Chanukah through this method of Achsinoi. Okay, we'll see exactly how that works out, but then he says, Basar dinasivi isiso, but now that I'm married, Amina, I say, I don't have to fulfill my mitzvah in my Rebbe's house, or wherever I am on the face of the globe. Hashtavari lotzrechina, I don't have any need to do so. Tikamadliki olai bego besai. Because they're lighting on my behalf back in the house. Now, the pashtus in the sugya, and that's the way all the Rishonim learn it, is that his wife is lighting. Now, what led them to that strange conclusion that his wife is lighting? It's not his parents who are lighting. How do I know it's not his parents who are lighting?
Then he could have done what he was saying.
Exactly. From the very fact that he said, now that I'm married, Baruch Hashem, I'm married, they're lighting back in the house for me. So apparently it means his wife is lighting for him. So now I come back to my original question. And that is, if a woman is obligated in Ner Chanukah, the Mechaber says that she could light Ner Chanukah, and she's obligated to do so. Now, let's go a step further. If she's obligated to do so, let her light on behalf of her husband. And what's the answer? That's exactly what the halacha is. We see it explicitly in the Gemara. Now I want to read to you one line in the Prima Gata. And set me straight here, Rav Osai, if I'm making a mistake here. I can't believe that I saw this in the Prima Gata. The Prima Gata writes the following. It's a one-liner called the Eshel Avram. You know, there are two parts to the Prima Gata. And in the Eshel Avram, he says the following: V'isha motzia anoshim. Interesting, he used the word anoshim here. You know, I would have said that she should be motzia her husband, but apparently it's lav dafka her husband. Okay, says the Prima Gadol, Isha motzia anoshim im omdim sham b'shoshem adlika. Now wait a second, I don't get it. Is there shlichus in Ner Chanukah, or is there not shlichus in Ner Chanukah? If there's shlichus in Ner Chanukah, that means I could be on the other side of the world, appointing you as my shliach here in Yerushalayim to light the Chanukah for me. That would be a classical case of shlichus. So my mind is perplexed by this Prima Gada, because, again, I didn't get a chance to research this in the literature, so I'm just telling you it's fresh out of the oven here. I read this Prima Gadum and I'm very perplexed. The Prima Gadum says that she can light on behalf of men, but only if the men are present. So what is that? If it's shlichus, the whole essence of shlichus is that I can't be present, I'm on the other side of the world. And if it's not shlichus, then how does Hara Hadlaka relate to me? Now, if the Prima Gadim would say that there's a special halacha of ishto kegufo or something along that line, meaning that, as we saw in Reb Zera, now that I'm married, Baruch Hashem, my wife could light on my behalf.
But he wasn't there.
Right? And he wasn't there, and yet there's some sort of super halacha here of ishto kegufo, that she, as my wife, can sort of represent me. And we have to figure out how that works. But it's only halacha of ishto, it's not a general halacha of any woman in the world. Then what it means is that barring the case of ishto, there's no such thing as a woman lighting on behalf of a man. Unless, says the Prima Gadim, the man is there. Now, if there's a problem here because a woman can't light on behalf of a man, then what difference does it make if the man is there? She's lighting on his behalf. Alan? But no jokes now. I'm really high gear here. So, okay. Yeah.
If she's on her own and not married, does she have an obligation to light?
Absolutely. No question about it. You don't have to be a Lubavitcher. Anybody will tell you that a woman has to light in her apartment, wherever she lives. But now, she's lighting on behalf of the men. So I would have said, look, a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, let her light on behalf of a man. What does this sound like a little bit? No, I'm saying, which shita that we've discussed over the last half hour, I don't know when we started. Again, who says that a man can't a woman can't be motzi a man? I didn't see it in the Rashi. Who's the Bahag? The Bahag of Megillah. Again, we interpreted the Bahag based on the lumdus of the Rashba, but the Bahag is the one who says explicitly, goes on record, and by the way, it's Op Kapaskin and Shulchan Aruch, that a woman cannot be motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah. Why? Even though she's obligated to Torah's Afhein Hoyvosanes, she doesn't have the basic chiyuv of the Maisa Mitzvah, as we said, the Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, if we mirror image this over to Ner Chanukah, let's say we take the Rashba's approach, that according to the Rashba, there's the mitzvah ketikuna, which would add the element of Pirsum Anes, but then there's a mitzvah shalom ketikuna after Tichla Rechem Hashuk, which means I have a little vestige of a mitzvah here, because I have at least the Maisa Mitzvah as a mechanical act of lighting the Ner Chanukah, and that too justifies the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, albeit not as a complete mitzvah, but as a partial mitzvah. So for Moshe Soloveitchik is right, that according to the Rashba at least, in the case of Ner Chanukah, we saw this in the Bahag, in the case of Megillah, that we could have these two dimensions to the mitzvah, then we could ask ourselves the following question. Well, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said that women are obligated in Ner Chanukah. Why are women obligated in Ner Chanukah, says Rabbi Shimon ben Levi in the previous line? Because Afein Hoyibos Anes. Well, maybe Afein Hoyibos Anes picks up the obligation of Pirsum Anes, but it doesn't pick up the obligation of Maisa Hadlaka, in which case a woman could not light on behalf of a man. And now the Prima Gadim is perplexed. He says, well, what do you mean a woman can't light on behalf of the men? We already saw in the Gemara that Reb Zera's wife is lighting on his behalf. And the Prima Gadim goes a step further. I can appoint a woman. Again, I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of the Prima Gadim. He uses some ambiguous language here, but he says, his language is Motzia Anoshim. Okay, Motzia Anoshim. And then he adds a proviso which just undermines, blows the whole thing out of the water. Im hanoshim omdim sham. Wait a minute. If she's obligated, why can't she be motzi even from the other side of the world? Like, let's say, for example, there are many men in the house, correct? One of them is on a trip to the Far East. So it sounds like the Prima Gadim is perplexed. If that person who's now in the Far East is not her husband, and again, we don't have this, whatever that halacha is about, you know, Ner Ishu Beso, or maybe it's Ishto Kegufo, I don't know exactly what the mechanics is, then the Prima Gadim asks himself the following question: how could you be in the Far East and have a woman light for you here in Yerushalayim? Says the Prima Gadim, that's not going to go. It's not going to cut the mustard. He has to be right here in front of you. Again, I don't know in that case why you're bothering asking a woman to light the Ner Chanukah. And if there is no shlichus for a woman to be motzi a man, so what good is it if he's standing there? The whole prima donna makes no sense.
Well, but he's standing there, he's got to have the key of time. If he's at the other end of the world, he hasn't got the key of time.
Because of different time. Okay, yeah. Maybe I went too far. But let's say he's up in Sfat. I think in Sfat they have the same time as we do, right? So he's up in Sfat, and she's here lighting the candle, and he appointed her to light the candle on his behalf. Again, the case of Reb Zera was, who did Reb Zera, when he was expressing his sense of comfort that he's not obligated to the mitzvah of Chanukah in the Achsanoi mode, who did he mention? Issachar. He mentioned his wife, you know, that are married. Does it mean that someone else's wife can be motzi me in their Chanukah, or a single girl can be motzi me in their Chanukah? So I don't know. I would have said yes, because a woman is obligated in their Chanukah. So why can't she be my shliach and implement the mitzvah of their Chanukah? I'm just pointing out here that the prima donna offers a very complicated and odd sort of mechanics here. On the one hand, she could do the lighting for me, but I have to be there when she does the lighting.
So Avram is considering, I think, that it only has to
but be read the prima donna. Tell me, maybe I'm reading it wrong. I don't know.
It's my mind. Two different aspects.
Just read them against the last line on the page. But I saw this, my eyes popped out.
A man for a man, we wouldn't say that.
I would say that a man for a man, let me appoint you as my shliach because you have the same identical chiyuv as I do, and I would have applied that to a woman as well. But comes along the prima gadim, and again I'm reading a lot into the one line in the prima gadim, and maybe he's applying the logic of the Bahag in Mikra Megillah, and he's saying it's not a simple matter to have a woman light Ner Chanukah for you.
But why, in the case of Bat Sanai, does he have to be Mishtad of a Prite? Why doesn't he?
I don't know. That's a separate question, which I hopefully will get to. But I just, Rabosa, can I just read one paragraph to you in the Sefer called Harei Kedah? Okay, I don't think you have this because I gave out up to Reish Tzadi Hei, but I don't think I gave out Reish Tzadi Vav, so I apologize for that. Yeah, it's the other side of this page that I gave you already for those who've been with me for a while. And he says the following. This is a paragraph that starts v'nireh, and he says hine. Listen carefully. Hine b'tosus megillah, right? Reish Tzadivav, paragraph v'nireh. B'tosus megillah kasvu b'shem abahag isha motzia mina. Mina means another woman in mikra megillah. V'lo anoshim. She can't read the megillah for a man. He says the following. Bir bazeh hagram zatzal. He's quoting Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. The hatam bazehu mishum she mikra megillah hu beemes mitzvah aseish asman grama. The nashim pturus mimena el de mikol makom nashim chayovus b'mikra megillah mishum afein hoy banes. The chiyuv ze eino meikar hachiyuv mikra megillah. He doesn't elaborate. He just says the following: that although Rav Yeshua ben Levi establish that women are obligated in Mikra Megillah because of Afein Hoyibosadnes, that Chiyuv is not Mi'ikar Chiyuv HaMegillah Elohu Din Nosaf. It's some sort of add-on. Yitzhak, you following me? You see, he uses that word, it's a Din Nosaf, which I call the, is there such a phrase in English, an add-on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an add-on. HaMachayev B'chol mitzvah shel pirsum anes ki mikra megillah v'ner chanukah v'dalit kosos. So again, we're talking about an add-on. But the primary fundamental mitzvah of mikra megillah, again, he doesn't identify the way we identify it as a maisa kriya, that chiyuv is nullified in the case of a woman because it's a zman groma situation. So the afein hoyu only adds that nosaf, that din nosaf. Therefore, she doesn't share the chiyuv of the ikar hamachayev, which is mikra megillah. And if she doesn't have mikra megillah, maybe she has pirsum and estu shmiya. She cannot be motzi a man. He says lefi zeh. I'm just fast forwarding to the next paragraph. Kasha lechora eich nashim motzios es hanashim b'ner chanukah. I'm telling you, I saw this. I had a certain sense of This identifies with what I've been yelling and screaming about here. If the Bahag already splits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah into two parts, in which case women only share one part and not the other part, therefore women can't be motzi a man, why not apply the same structure to the case of Ner Chanukah? Then Ner Chanukah women should get one part of the mitzvah called Pirsa Banes as a Kim Shevalev, call it Afein Hoyu Bosanes, but they were never included in the original mitzvah, the basic fundamental Ikar mitzvah, which is Hadlaka, because it's a Zman Grama mitzvah. So if the Bahag says that Afein Hoyu does not jack up the women to the same identical status as the men, because Afein Hoyu is only this Din Nosaf, but it's not the Ikar mitzvah, then we should apply the same logic to Ner Chanukah. Now in the case of Dalet Kosos, I can't begin to imagine, because it's a Maisa Shebegufo, that this would become relevant, that the Bahag would have to address the question whether she could be Motzi Mi and Dalet Kosos. No one could be Motzi Mi and Dalet Kosos. Not you, and not Moshe Rabbeinu, and not Yoshua Ben Nun. Nobody could be Motzi Mi and Dalet Kosos. I got to drink it myself. And hopefully I'll enjoy the Dalet Kosos. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, what about your lighting Ner Chanukah on my behalf? So the answer is you and I share the same chiyuv, so you could be motzi me with Ner Chanukah if we ever solve the problem of shlichus here. But in the case of an isha, how could she light the Ner Chanukah if she doesn't share the same chiyuv? Now from this point and on, Rav Soloveitchik presents a fantastical, complicated chiddush over here. I'll say it to you in just like two or three lines. I mean, he basically says that Ner Chanukah is unique because the mitzvah is simply Ner Ishu Beso to set up an Ner Chanukah. And therefore he says that even though the Bahag would say that women can't be motzi a man in Megillah, but women could create an Ner Chanukah, and that's enough for the men to be motzi, to be otzi dechovaso. But again, in order to get to this point, in which the Rav wants to differentiate between Ner Chanukah and all of the classical mitzvahs, he has to postulate this question: how could a woman light Chanukah candles for a man? And his answer is that she can indeed light Chanukah candles for a man. But he's totally oblivious of this Prima Gadim. And the Prima Gadim says that if she's lighting candles on behalf of a man, the man has to be there, present at that time, which creates some sort of Ishtatvus Bebruta situation, or I don't know what it creates. I have no idea. But certainly the Prima Gadim would never say that a man has to be there in order to be Yotzi vicariously through someone else's Hadlaka. For sure he would be Yotzi, even if he's within the same time zone, as Lenny points out. And the Prima Gadim is only talking about a woman. That's why the Prima Gadim only attaches this comment to the Shulchan Aruch in Tofrei Shain Hei, who says that a woman is chayev in Ner Chanukah, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a word about a woman lighting on behalf of a man. That's where the Prima Gadim steps up to the plate and he says, well, if you want to have a woman light on behalf of a man, then the man has to be there present. Which means, clearly, that he's not operating within the realm of shlichus. If it would have been a man lighting for a man, that would be fine. But if it's a woman lighting for a man, I have a problem. Ayin Gemara says that Reb Zera Lot and his wife's hadlaka, that also has to be some sort of a supra halacha, just like the similar case where the woman's lighting in the presence of the man who has to be yotze. I don't know exactly how that works. And then you can extend that to the case of Ishto, maybe through Ishto Kagufo, or maybe she represents the bias if he's not around, whatever it is. But the bottom line is that although the Prima Gadim would certainly welcome the classical shlichus in the case of a man lighting for a man, and when I say classic, it means even if he's not around, but in the case of a woman lighting for a man, he's got to be there. Like, what's that all about?
Well, he wouldn't say that a man could light for another man if he's lighting in a different house. He's lighting up,
So why doesn't he make that point for a man? Why does he wait until the Mechaber says that a woman is obligated in their Chanukah, but you should know that if she's lighting on behalf of a man, the man has to be there? Why did the Prima Gadim wake up like Boker Tov? Why didn't he mention this very important stipulation, this requirement with regard to the case of a man? The opening line in the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah, Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, is that that because the Yevanim, etc., is Chayov Bad Lakas Ner Chanukah. So the Prima Gadim should have said that if somebody's lighting on your behalf, you have to be there. We never heard of such a thing that you have to be there. Yitzhak?
Can you extend this thinking of there's two parts to the candles of mechanical lighting of Shemisa to the discussion of Shefti Anu, which you didn't say on the first day? for a woman.
You mean that the Zman, the Yom itself, that discussion that we had yesterday?
Yeah,
I didn't see the connection.
If a woman didn't make Rosh Hashanah on the first day, it was already lit. So
Yitzchak, you're gonna have to go slowly here. There's too many new factors here. So look, Rabbi, I think it's pretty much time for Mincha. Some of you may be going to vote today. Does anybody know when the latest time is to vote for Sunday? 10 o'clock. All right. So I wish you luck in voting, because it's very perplexing. It's almost as complicated as the Prima Donna meeting.
You have to be there, Lenny.
I wish I could ask you to vote on my behalf. Here's my two nuts a hood. You know, you'll get locked up in jail for a few years.
The other question wasn't answered at all. We didn't talk about is that it doesn't cover most mitzvahs that women are have a key for that are zman grama. For instance,
it only counts for three mitzvahs.
Yeah, it doesn't take care of like this is a say of Shabbos. This is their Shabbos because since they're chayiv in the lavin, they're also chayiv in the esed.
Well, Moshe would say that's not because of Afen Hoyibos on this.
No, it's because they're chayiv in the lavin.
Right, because Moshe would argue that there's no Afen Hoyibos on this when we go to Shabbos.
So basically,
but Moshe says there are only three mitzvahs which lend themselves to Afen Hoyibos.
And those are because there's no lavin involved in that.
Right, for sure.
And if there's no lavin, they couldn't use the tam. That's since the chayiv in the lavin, the chayiv in the essence. There's no lavin, so there's no lavin. The only way to make them chayiv.
But Moshe's not talking about since there's a lav, therefore it's an essay. Moshe says even without a lav, there's no essay.
That's the Megillah.
Can I give this back to you? We have to.
Just decide what it is you want.
Right.